Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Republican Vice Presidential nominee J.D. Vance is in Minneapolis criticizing the record of the governor, who's also his opposite number.
Minneapolis had one of the great quality of lives 5-6 years ago, but thanks to the leadership of Tim Walz, has now become overrun with crime.
Hurricane Milton recovery is complicated by leftover debris from Hurricane Helene. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says the state has stepped up the effort to remove it.
We got 100% reimbursement that was approved by the president. We got to take advantage of that.
NASA has launched its Europa Clipper spacecraft to survey an icy moon that orbits Jupiter. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood says scientists are very curious.
There is an ocean under the frozen crust of this moon, Europa. They could tell that by a variety of remote means. They're hoping to find out with this mission, is that environment habitable?
It's due to start orbiting Europa in about 5.5 years. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice presidential candidate Tim Walz campaigns in Wisconsin today with stops in Green Bay and Eau Claire. He tells Good Morning America why he's running.
I watched Donald Trump dismiss the COVID pandemic. I watched him drive an economy into the ground. And I watched Joe Biden and Kamala Harris pick those pieces up.
Also in Wisconsin today, First Lady Jill Biden is in Madison. Senator Bernie Sanders is in Milwaukee. Kamala Harris will be in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and La Crosse on Thursday. Elon Musk's political action committee has taken over a big share of Donald Trump's get-out-the-vote efforts in Wisconsin. Musk's America PAC is reportedly working with the far-right dark money group Turning Point Action. Their combined efforts are said to be focusing on people they've identified as Trump supporters who haven't voted recently. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, October 15th. The Wood County Board of Supervisors will meet at 9:30 a.m. at the courthouse in the county boardroom. The public meeting of the Wisconsin Rapids Common Council will take place at 6 p.m. in the council chambers at City Hall. In Portage County, the Stevens Point Tourism Commission will have a virtual meeting at 7:30 a.m. The Highway Committee will meet at 3:30 at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Portage County Board meeting will begin at 5. In Adams County, the County Board meeting will begin at 6. You can mark your calendars for an important roadway safety planning meeting in Portage County. It will happen on Tuesday, October 29th at the Mid-State Technical College in Stevens Point. The public information meeting will run from 5 to 7 p.m. They want feedback to address specific safety needs in the community. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers beat the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers jumped out to a 24-0 lead and never looked back on the way to a 34-13 win over the Cardinals. Quarterback Jordan Love.
That was the goal for us coming in this game, was to be able to start fast and get in that rhythm. And obviously, I think the first drive, not coming with points, was tough, but we were able to build on that and start building on that rhythm we wanted to have.
The Cardinals scored 13 points, but quarterback Kyler Murray said it was too little, too late.
If we scored before half or even after half, you're 17-24. And then you feel like it's a game, and then I think second half, man, we just two fumbles back to back, penalties. It just can't let bad plays continue to happen against a good team. So it's too hard.
Up next, the Packers host the Houston Texans. College football: the Wisconsin Badgers with a decisive 42-7 win at Rutgers over the weekend. Wisconsin improved to 4-2. NBA: the Bucks host the Bulls tonight in a preseason game. Chris Middleton, though, is still likely not to play. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with some showers around this evening, then overnight some clearing with frost possible. Morning low in the low 30s. Mostly sunny and highs in the upper 40s to near 50 for tomorrow. A hard freeze and frost likely tomorrow night. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What are you too embarrassed to do alone?
I can't go into the library without a date.
Interesting.
Yes.
I'm no loser.
Grocery store.
Yeah.
You prefer to do that alone.
Absolutely.
When I used to go with my roommate, he would take longer than me, and I'd be sitting in the car with all my groceries for like 20 minutes.
I can't even shop with my wife. She's browsing, and I respect that, but I can't do it. I'm a mission guy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, a former U.S. diplomat tells us about the 1,000 or so retired national security officials warning voters about Donald Trump.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this October 14th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. In part two today, we're going to have Fontana and Audrey join us, two of the Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen contestants for the Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen contest coming up. Looking forward to talking with them. Right now in studio, we have our good friend, Reverend Beth Habhager, with us. Reverend Beth, it's always good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And Mike Barnes is with us. Mike, good to see you.
Good to see you.
They're here today to talk about the Winter's Farmers Market. We're going to dive into that, looking forward to it, and certainly looking forward to having the Winter Farmers Market back. But if you don't mind, I'd like to rewind for a second. You guys wrapped up your community book sale this past weekend. How did that go?
It went extremely well. We did not have as many books donated this year as we have in the past, so there weren't quite as many to go, but we still were able to raise just under $2,500 towards scholarships. So we were very grateful, and thank you to the community who came out to support this, those that donated books. And if you're interested in donating next year, because we got that question a lot, as people will have the book bin back out Memorial Day weekend, and we'll be collecting throughout the summer. So if you're getting, you know, as you're thinking about Christmas and maybe needing to thin out your bookshelves, get a box, set it aside, and then mark for Moravian Church and bring it to us next year.
As my mother would like to note to everybody, this if you get rid of old books, it means you can get new ones.
Exactly.
You can replace. So there you go. You get new books. It's some people are doing some fall cleaning and things. It's a good note,
right,
Beth. Hey, keep this in mind in the back of your head. You know, had that cardboard box set and ready to go when Memorial Day weekend comes up.
Right. And one of the exciting things are the books that we haven't been able to sell, we're finding second lives for. So our religious and inspirational section will be going to St. James and Kellner for their book sale. That's a part of their, I think it's a bazaar coming up later this month. All of the children's books have been boxed up and will be taken over to the food pantry and will be given away to children who come for that, so they will get a second life. So we're also connecting with Mary's Place, and they're going to come over and choose some books to take over for their residents as well.
That's wonderful to hear. And you know, especially I know that you guys have had this for a little while, but so much of it is still evolving and developing. So, you know, the next year when we get together to talk about this, I'd love the idea of hearing even more opportunities for these books that may not get sold, for them to go somewhere.
Absolutely.
It's such a cool thing. And, of course, all of this is done to help raise funds for Mid-State and scholarships.
And our scholarship that was awarded this last year went to a nursing student again. So these non-traditional scholarships are helping people get a second career or a new life in their career.
Which is putting into an industry that needs it and deserves it. Mm-hmm. And certainly these individuals may go on to be in our communities to use these services and everything. It is a full circle, win-win-win kind of situation.
And now we're shifting and getting ready to transition our basement from the book sale to the winter market that's coming up.
Yeah. Looking forward to diving into this one. If you guys don't mind, though, I am a little bit of a history nerd. I love to go into the origin stories and the histories of these things. And when it comes to the Winter's Farmers Market, it's got quite an interesting one. Do we get into the history of this a little bit?
Well, the Winter's Farmers Market was not operating for a number of years before the Wisconsin Rapids Convention Bureau decided to do some testing to see the viability of a winner's market in this area. People continue to want to, get farmers markets kind of things in the winter, but you had to have some place to hold it. You can't just park it out in the parking lot anymore. It's a little bit chilly.
Yeah.
So they did that at the end of the pandemic, near the end of the pandemic. They had some space available to them, and they did that. It was small, but they saw that it was viable. They could sort of as a demonstration that it would work. They put out the word. Of course, they eventually lost the space because it was going to go back to being used as a business. And so they put out the word to the community. They approached several people looking for space and somebody willing and interested in running a winter's farmers market. We were the ones that said, yeah, we'll do it. It's partly as a fundraiser for the church to help keep the doors open. I mean, and to use space that sits unused anyway for something good for the community. And so we took it on. This will be now our third year. It takes a while to grow these things. People don't readily think of a farmer's market in the winter. So that getting people to come to the farmer's market. And then not every kind of vendor is available in the winter as is available in the summer. We don't have a lot of people with produce in the winter. That's a little bit more difficult. Yeah. But we're trying to build something that's fun, a place that people like to come to. They can meet their friends as well as get some of the locally produced and locally grown items. Things like bakery and in the middle of the winter, the chickens are still laying eggs and things like that. So we took it on, and we're growing. And we're hoping to grow it some more this year to make it even more fun, more interesting to people so that they want to come on Saturday morning.
And it's exciting because it's not just the produce and egg. It's also vendors. Mm-hmm. So local people who are trying to maybe earn a little extra money or creative. We've got booths that have sold soap and popcorn and all sorts of things there. So
right. And we have, there are vendors that do things like crafts, and they tend to be more centered around times when people are interested in buying gifts as well as other things like that. So we have, we have a variety of vendors, and it's our goal and our what we're working towards to try to continue to expand the variety of vendors and the number of vendors so that, you come down and see what's cooking.
Mike, to your point about taking time to build these things, we talk about this a lot with individuals that come in with events. We had the gang from Bluegrass at the Lake in those days before, and they were just building it and everything. You see what that is now. Dove's Nest is another great one where they joined us right before that. They even had a building. They even had a house yet were joining us, and you see where that has grown. This community supports these kind of things. And when they find something they like, they keep coming back to it. You mentioned the growing this, that the type of vendor that's out there, growing the information to the consumer, it's just as important to get that information out there through vendors and the possibility of that. And certainly encourage people to spread the word about this event, not only for our consumers out there in our community, but anybody that could be a possible vendor. Because it gives a unique opportunity with a winter's farmer market, where you in some ways you might have less vendors opportunities, and at the same time might have more with some of the crafting that you mentioned there and everything. These farmers markets, whether they're winter, summer, whatever season they are a huge part of our society now because they support such a backbone of our communities, such a backbone of our state, whether it's ag industry or the crafting industry or anything like that.
Well, it's a wonderful way for the community to get together. And at the Moravian Church, we really want to be seen as part of the community. And we love to have our doors open and welcome people to come, not just check us out, but these other events that we're able to offer so that you can see and meet your neighbors, because it's a wonderful, safe space to do that.
Well, and it's you guys stepping up, too. I think that that's noteworthy, and it's coming from me just looking at it from a third perspective and everything, whether it's this or it's the community book sale or something like that, things that, if I can be blunt, we might not have otherwise. They could have gone away. We still have them because you guys stepped up, because the church stepped up. And not for nothing, too, there's not a lot of places that have that kind of space. So even taking that and saying, hey, well, we got all this space, and raising your hand and being a part of this, not a lot of people will do that. Some people just kept their hand down. I think it's noteworthy that you guys stepped up on this one, and the community has supported that, too, and shown that. The Winter's Farmers Markets have been successful in the couple of years you guys have done this, from what I've heard and seen.
And that wouldn't have happened without Mike. Mike has really found a passion for this outreach from our congregation. So thank you, Mike, for coordinating all of this for us.
Certainly.
Do you guys take any, and it's I don't know if it's noteworthy or not, but I know that the Summer's Market, the Winter's Farmer's Market, two separate people running these things and everything.
Correct.
But do you take any influence from each other? I know talking with, we had them in last week, and they're saying that they really enjoy what you guys do and really support and mm-hmm. wanted to get behind it. We're looking forward to the details and everything about it.
Yeah, certainly the Wood County runs the Summer mm-hmm. Farmers Market, and I work with her. In fact, I just talked to her last week. They said they have some new vendors this year, so they're going to send them over to me. And
cool.
You know, and of course they will put on their site my postings and vice versa. The we try to you know, find new ideas. There's some mm-hmm. of the things they do that I'm looking at. If I can figure out how to make them work at our market, we'll certainly incorporate them. That help makes it easier and makes it better.
Yeah, we're so much stronger together, you know, with mm-hmm. these things. And whether, you know, Beth and I, we've gotten together to talk about Grace before mm-hmm. and the work there with churches coming together.
Yes.
Terry John, CEO of the United Way, and I have talked a lot about nonprofits working together mm-hmm. in this community. These things stand out. And I think they are a great example to the rest of the state, the rest of the Midwest, of what happens when we work together and how much stronger we are when we work together.
Absolutely.
What are the details? Do we have the opening night? Do we have the details for this yet?
Yeah. The opening day is going to be October 26th,
hey.
9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we will run all the way through till December 21.
Hmm.
There's actually going to be sort of a themed sessions this year, the fall session, you know, where we focus on things of fall, you
hmm.
know. Could be pumpkins, could be, you know, pumpkin pies, whatever. Mm-hmm.
I heard was pumpkin pie. That's all I heard.
Then there's going to be a short holiday session, and we will have an event at the holiday session. I talked to someone. We're going to have Santa at the market again.
Cool.
That was very popular. Some of the craft vendors who focus in on some of the holidays, they like to come to those times when we're around mm-hmm. a holiday that they would have specific crafts for. So then we'll take a little break after the 21st of December, and we'll pick up again on January 18th. After people's kind of gotten over the hangover of Christmas mm-hmm. and New Year's, and we'll start again. So January 18th, and so we'll have a longer, what I call a winter session that will run mm-hmm. from January 18th to March 29th. At that point, we're going to transition into a spring session. At our spring session, last year we experimented with, and we're going to continue to experiment with the changing weather. We've been seeing some earlier times that it's been warm out.
Mm.
So during that session, you know, if it's a little warmer, the vendors will actually set up in the parking lot. They like that.
Mm.
Sort of getting ready for the summer season, what mm-hmm. it's like to be out in the summer season. So so that's kind of how we're doing this. So
is the way of making payments, people might be familiar or used to doing the way that you do in the summer at a summer's farmer's market. Is there any differences with that as far as making payments with vendors and purchasing items and such?
As far as the customers buying stuff from the vendors.
Yeah. Hey, bring cash, or hey, they have the cards now. Every vendor is probably different, I'm sure, but something to keep in mind for the audience out there.
Right. Well, so I have not established it yet, but I'm going to try to figure out that market bucks.
Cool.
You know, the summer market runs a thing where you buy from them tokens that can mm-hmm. be then cashed in with the vendors. I'm going to see if we can do something like that. Those things, you know, a lot of details involve that.
Oh, yeah.
But we're working on that, you know. Some of the programs that are at the winter or summer market would not be available from us because they're focused on buying produce, locally grown produce, and with certain programs. So those wouldn't necessarily be viable. But, you know, we are investigating those things.
Very cool. Are there any other differences between that people should keep in mind when you're is approaching a summer market to a winter farmer's market? Certainly, we touched on the different vendors and some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the location being inside, that's something else to keep in mind. But otherwise, you know, pretty much a farmer's market, what you would expect.
Right, right. So, you know, it's going to be cash, and many of the vendors do take credit cards on their own. And, you know, so that's available. They're able to run their machines inside. So, yeah.
Yeah. You heard the dates and some of the details from Mike here, but we also want to note as well that, you know, anything can happen, and certainly life has its curveballs that it throws to us and everything, Beth. So there is a possibility of closings to keep in mind with this, too.
Right. And we try to connect with the local stations and TV. If it's the weather's too bad, we will cancel the market. And we will also put that out on our Facebook page. And that Facebook page is WR Winter Farmers Market. And you will be live on there, or make sure that there's a message there to let people know that we will not be happening if the weather is that bad.
If people aren't familiar with the kind of stomping grounds over there, as far as parking and that, how would that work?
Well, we are right beside the old Tribune building. So there is parking on both sides of Goggins. We have parking at the church itself. In fact, we have nice new blacktop. So it is not nearly as treacherous for the winter this winter as it has been in the past. And we do have permission to use the parking lot across Goggins behind the old Tribune building. So it's easy to get to us. We do have an elevator, so the basement is accessible for all abilities, and a wonderful new ramp to be able to get in. So it should not be an issue to be able to get into the building and to get down to where the market is.
I brought it up just so we could talk about the new parking lot, just so we can mention that. Shout out to the workers over there and everybody that worked on that one. And we will certainly keep you up to date. If there are any closings, we'll be letting you know right here at this station. You can be sure of that. Mm-hmm. When we talk about vendors, we've touched on this a little bit, you all. The type of vendors that can take advantage of something like this and really use this space. Is it really a one come one all? You know, is there a type of vendor that would work really well for something like this? If you're listening out there, we want you to be a part of it.
Well, certainly. We don't want flea markets, so people that are coming to sell their garage sale items necessarily. But, you know, things that have been produced locally, preferably locally, but not exclusively. We do have what's called direct sale vendors, people who sell things that they're reselling as manufacturer's reps, so to speak. But we do want to focus on locally grown, locally produced items. So, for instance, one of our more consistent vendors has been Wisconsin Waterfall Soaps. Jeff makes his own soaps down in his basements, and he's grown quite a bit. He's a wide variety of soaps. We have a baker, Too Easy Bakery. Elizabeth bakes her stuff at the Presbyterian Church in Arpen there. She's quite popular. She's one of the big pushers of this because she needs a place to sell her goods in the winter. Mm-hmm. You know, she runs several tables in the summer, but, you know, she needs somewhere to sell her goods to the customers that want to see her. Mm-hmm. We have some new bakers that will be coming into the market, some sourdough baking people and things like that. So, you know, sort of that kind of thing. Then there's people that make crafts, sewn crafts. There's people that sew things, make bowl koozies and hot pad holders.
Glasses, cups and things like that, yes. Jewelry.
So there's a variety of crafts. Yeah. And these are all produced by people here in town.
Mm-hmm. You know? And a great place to go Christmas shopping.
Oh, absolutely.
And the place maybe to go Christmas
Instead
shopping.
Instead of checking out Etsy, check out the winter market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the purpose of Etsy was to buy local and support local. Here you go. You could do it in person. You could actually just, you know, cut out the middleman. No shipping and handling on that.
That's right. It'll be right there. You take it home with you.
Yeah, yeah. And certainly, as I say this, I really want to make sure to hit home, buying local, supporting local.
Right.
This is a popular phrase, and it's a phrase we say all the time, whether it's on the air here or just in person in our day-to-day lives. But it also takes action. It's a great phrase, takes a little action behind it as well. We encourage you to go to every one of these markets because there is no reruns. Every market's going to be
true.
A little bit different. Be sure to check them out. And certainly feedback. The gang over here running this really love hearing from the community and really love running this for the community. So want to hear feedback from you guys when it comes to these things. And certainly vendors. All you vendors out there, we want all of you, want to hear from all of you. Mike, if a vendor out there is listening and would like to be a part of this event, how can they reach you?
Well, they can reach me at the wrwintersmarket@gmail.com, and they can phone me 715-697-9762, or they can leave a contact on Facebook or WR Winters Farmers Market on Facebook. They can leave a message, and I'll get back to them. We're certainly interested in all vendors. We're looking to expand all the time. We have not filled up our space. We got room. The more vendors we have, the more customers we can bring in. The more customers we can bring in, the better it works for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And thank you for the time, Mike. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for everything you're doing for the community.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
Beth, before we let you go, congratulations on the casting in White Christmas.
Thank you. Get your
tickets for that, everybody, at wrctheater.org. We'll meet you there at the studio. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a really good show. Congratulations to you
and the cast.
And I did want to remind the audience that you have great services that you do every Sunday, and you put them out there for everybody on YouTube.
We wanted
to tell people how they can get that.
Yeah, all you need to do is type in Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, and you'll find our YouTube channel, and we live stream when we're having service, and then we keep it posted under the Lives tab, so you can go back and see some of our previous services as well. And then we also try to post that onto our Facebook or our website, usually on a Tuesday morning.
I encourage you to check that out, everybody, and subscribe to the page. Keep up to date on the great work that they are doing over there. Really do appreciate it. And Beth, if people have follow-up questions about to you, how can they reach you?
You can call the church office at 715-423-0180. You can email moravian@wctc.net, or you can contact me directly, wrmcpastor@gmail.com.
Encourage you to do that, everybody. And you can find out more as well at the website, wrmoravian.org, wrmoravian.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. The Winters Farmers Market social media page, Facebook page is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Another great way to reach out to the gang here. Thank you both so much for the time. Appreciate you.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is second in the nation in the number of dam failures. That's according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum. It says 34 Wisconsin dams have failed since 2000. 28 of those 34 dams have failed since 2018. Only South Carolina does worse. The Policy Forum says it's a symptom of aging infrastructure and more rain due to climate change. Native American tribes in Wisconsin are bringing back growing and harvesting wild rice. Joe Gravine is a member of the Lac du Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa in northern Wisconsin.
You know, see that abundance of rice that hasn't been there for 20 years. That smile on her face, the energy that they give off.
But tribes are concerned that climate change could threaten future crops. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The average price of gasoline rose 3.7 cents per gallon in the last week. The average across the state is $3.03 today. This is 5.6 cents higher than a month ago, but over 20 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at GasBuddy say Iran's attack on Israel is responsible for the slight climb in prices at the pump. While Hurricane Milton has left a third of all stations in Florida without gas, the storm itself is not impacting prices. Oil prices are recently starting to fall again, so we could start to see a decline in gas prices in the weeks ahead. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.74 to $2.88 per gallon. Fall leaf and grass pickup for Stevens Point City residents will be the week of November 4th. You'll need to have grass and leaves bagged and left curbside by 7 a.m. on Monday, November 4th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Let's be honest. Scooby-Doo's Velma was a great actor. But when it comes to carrying a show, she can only do that so far. Max has announced that it's canceling the show Velma after two seasons. The Scooby-Doo spinoff was considered controversial as they decided to gear the storylines toward adults for both Velma and her Mystery Inc. chums. The Office's Mindy Kaling voiced the role of Velma and was one of the executive producers. Here's one of Pete's picks. If you're looking for a great indie comedy, check out the film Chump Change for rent on YouTube. Writer-director star of the film and native Wisconsin son Steve Burrows was a guest on Nightlight last week and informed me that the film is finally available after 20 years for viewing. This hilarious comedy, which stars, in addition to Burrows, Tracy Lords, Jerry Stiller, Tim Matheson, Ann Mara, Fred Willard, and Shelley Winters. How's that for a cast? The film is set in Milwaukee, and it's a cracklin' good, or should I say cacklin' good watch. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with some showers around this evening, then overnight some clearing with frost possible. Morning low in the low 30s. Mostly sunny and highs in the upper 40s to near 50 for tomorrow. A hard freeze and frost likely tomorrow night. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I've got Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin's 2nd District. We're going to be talking about what's at stake for you economically in the upcoming election. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, October 14th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and welcoming into the studio some of our Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen contestants for the Top 25 contest coming up. We'll be talking about details of that. We'll be getting to meet the gang here, and we'll be wrapping up this series this week. First up, we have with us Fontana Lumen. Fontana, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. And Audrey Pidgeon is with us as well. Audrey, good to have you here.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time, you two. And got to tell you both right out the gate, as I've mentioned to the other contestants, I've been acting since I was a kid. I've been doing radio for two decades. I know what it is to be in the public eye, and I could never do what you guys do. I admire it so much. I think it's one of the braver, cooler things that an individual can do, let alone at your ages. I think it's really cool, and I admire it. And you guys are going to enjoy yourselves a lot on that stage. We're going to let the audience get to know you a little bit before that stage, though. Kind of a preview before the previews, a dress rehearsal and all that. I like to start with an origin story. Fontana, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from?
Yeah, I live in Port Edwards now. I do virtual online school and go to college through Fox Valley, and I have a dual credit course through Madison.
Congratulations. That's really awesome, and congrats about the college and everything. That's
Thank
really
you.
Cool. And Audrey?
I'm from Wisconsin Rapids. I live in like Saratoga area. I go to Lincoln High School. I'm a sophomore, and yeah, I'm a figure skater. So,
very cool. Very cool. Thank you very much, both of you. Appreciate it. Let's go right into why you would do this. What made you want to do this, Fontana?
So originally, the reason why I'm doing it is because I searched up things for teens to do in Wisconsin Rapids, and it came up. And then I found out about all the scholarships you can win, all the friends you get to meet, and how you can basically share your passions and help your community out. And that's what I decided I wanted to do.
Very cool.
Audrey?
So my Aunt Becca was in the pageant. She did it. I can't remember what year, but she got Miss Congeniality, and she was telling me all about this pageant and how I should do it and how I have my talent and how, you know, I can get it out there. And I also like dressing up and doing makeup and stuff. And so I did it for that, too.
All good reasons. That's very cool. And kind of keeping up almost a family tradition that way. That's true. That's very cool. Interesting. Let's talk a little bit about that talent. And Audrey mentioned yours a little bit there. But Fontana, what will you be doing for a talent?
I'm singing the song Never Enough from The Greatest Showman. Mm. I like how it builds and how it's emotional and the meaning behind it.
Mm. Oh, I agree with all of the above. And boy, that feels like I am not a singer, but it does feel like one of those ones where you can really build and kind of show off your flexibility with your voice a little bit, too. Oh, that's very cool. Good choice. Audrey, how about for you?
I'm going to be figure skating on synthetic ice. My song is called Journey of the Past from Anastasia. And I don't know. I really like the song. My mommy grew up watching Anastasia, so it's one of my favorite things.
I don't know why figure skating and Anastasia seem to go together pretty well. Skating and I'm a fan of and my father is a former hockey player. Loves figure skating. Loves skating of all levels and everything. And such a respect for that. And we don't get to see that very much in the talent section of this competition. Yeah. That's kind of a fun thing to bring.
I'm pretty sure I'm the first person in Wisconsin to be doing it because I know people rollerblade. But yeah, so
that's pretty cool. That's all right. And it's going to be a good one out there. And it's got to feel good, too, with these skill sets that we have. As good as you might feel or as confident as you guys might feel about it, part of our job as adults is to build that confidence. And here is an opportunity to do that, not only for yourselves, but for us to help with that. That's pretty cool. We are speaking with some of the contestants, Fontana and Audrey, from the Miss Wisconsin Rapids Teen Competition. We'll be telling you how you can get tickets and the details of the event coming up. Let's get into your CSI, or your platform. What will that be, Fontana?
So mine's called Gallop to Gross. Mm-hmm. It's supporting equine therapy, and it's because I volunteer, actually, at Jeremiah's Crossing. Mm-hmm. Which is how I got into it.
Hmm. We have the gang from Jeremiah's Crossing on all the time. Great people. And I love horses. Oh, that's such a great one. That's a strong one, too. It's one of the things that I've really admired from all the contestants from the last couple of years, really. The categories you guys choose, they're not necessarily, you know, ones that we think about all the time. They're gray areas in our society. And you guys bringing light to them not only makes this competition mean that much more, but it's very cool. And I think it's an early tell of the kind of individuals you guys are going to be, because every one of you have a great, unique platform that really stands out. And I can't speak for others, but it makes me feel really good about the future when it comes to your minds and you guys being involved in these things. Audrey, for you, what is your CSI?
So mine is called Together Against Suicide. It is bringing light to the signs of suicide and it's going to be helping teens to help other teens, because I went through that and I wouldn't be around to share my story if some kid didn't speak up about it and tell his parents so they could tell mine.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing that. And that's one of the braver things I'm going to handle here today. I appreciate that very much. Somebody very close to me, my cousin, lost in the last year the same thing. And anytime we can talk about this subject, you know, our society has done a really good job with certain things and covering certain topics. We talk about them with a raised voice now. We don't hush anymore. But with that also comes understanding and us diving into these topics more and more so that we can be there for each other and really help each other and support each other. The more we talk about these, the more it takes away a little bit of the difficulty with it and everything. It makes it a little less uncomfortable for everybody to talk about. But if it's uncomfortable, that's another sign. Okay, we're not talking about this enough. We need to talk about it more. I appreciate that you want to take your platform and your time to be able to focus on something like that. Both great CSIs, you guys. They're both good, really
Thank
good
you.
Ones to be choosing. That's nice. I'm curious about the rehearsal process. I mentioned I'm an actor, so I'm always curious about the behind-the-scenes stuff and everything. How often are you all rehearsing, and have you been enjoying them, Fontana?
Yeah, so we've been going every Sunday night, and then you also work with your host mom, and I love mine. She's so helpful. Takes time out of her day to message me, like, when I have a question. And then you also practice at your house. And just everyone during rehearsal is so nice, and we just have so much fun.
Mm. Good to hear. Have you been enjoying the rehearsal process, Audrey?
I have. I made a lot of friends. one of my good friends from elementary school does it, Caitlin. So it's fun seeing her. And then I have a lot of friends, like my friend Gianna and me. We're just at homecoming together and hanging out. And then I met Fontana, so mm-hmm. yeah.
It does seem like, while this is certainly helping you guys get a little more comfortable on stage and figure out the details and the logistics of this, it's a real great opportunity for you guys to get to know each other, hang out, maybe make new friends, and certainly support each other. I am blown away by, and I mention this to people all the any chance I get, because growing up, I didn't know anything about pageants. And I grew up, to be honest with you, with a feminist mother who I thought just assumed didn't really like pageants. But my mom really does, because of the scholarships and the availability it gives to young women to be able to talk about subjects that matter to them. And it's stuff as a man that just I didn't see growing up, even with a feminist mom I didn't quite get. I see the importance of these more and more as we go forward. And it's really cool to see. But that's, again, from me in an outside perspective. When I ask the contestants, I always like to wrap up with, if there's a young lady out there listening and is on the fence about this, is thinking about maybe doing this when she's old enough or anything, what would you say to that person to encourage them to be a part of this?
To just jump in. There's so many people that are going to be there to help you. Everyone's there going to be helping you to get where you want to go. And it's just such a good experience, and you're going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Definitely join. I was so antisocial. I do talk a lot with my friends, but otherwise with strangers, I never talked a lot, and I don't have any good interview skills. I always say like in my sentences. So I joined this to get interview skills, and you can get interview skills, friends, makeup. Like, they have a huge closet there with like a bunch of dresses. It was like shopping. So I'd say join it, and you'll make so many good memories.
Oh, both great answers, you guys. Really good answers. Well done. One of the things, too, with this, while we don't know necessarily where you guys might go in your lives and where your path might take you, we do know that you're probably going to do some public speaking. You're probably going to need some confidence in that. And you're certainly going to need some, teamworking ability and some of those things. These are all things that you can learn and grow and fine-tune through this pageant. And us as a community can support that and help that by showing up at the event. We want you to have a great time. Enjoy yourselves. You nailed the interview here. Certainly did a great job here. I could never be a judge of one of these contests. Never. We'd be there for days waiting for me to make decisions. I'd never be able to make a decision. You guys are all amazing. And thank you so much, Audrey and Fontana, for joining us today. Break a leg. Have a great run. Enjoy yourselves, okay?
Thank you.
The event is coming up just around the corner, everybody. Now, there is a Friday night open dress rehearsal that is going on October 25th. The open dress rehearsal for the show begins promptly at 6 o'clock. Tickets are available at the door for that night. They will have some special guests as well. And then the whole thing kicks off October 26th at 6 o'clock at the PAC. Join them at the Performing Arts Center right here in Wisconsin Rapids. You can get tickets at MissWisconsinRapids.org. MissWisconsinRapids.org. Support these kids. Support the future. We'll be having more interviews coming up later in the week right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody knows what that means. There we go. That's the jam.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Kitchens Open on this October 14th on WFHR. Today, we're not going to talk about food, per se.
Whoa. Beth, isn't talking about food the whole point of the show?
Yes, Seth, but with food comes germs. Bacteria and viruses.
Yeah, that does not sound very appetizing.
No, but remember that not all bacteria and viruses are bad. We hear a lot about the benefits of prebiotics and probiotics, but today we're going to talk about what we've been hearing a lot about on the news Listeria. Mm. In fact, just last week, the Food Safety and Inspection Service, or FSIS, of the USDA announced a recall for Bruce Pack, a Durant, Oklahoma establishment, of approximately 9,986,245 pounds of ready-to-eat meat and poultry products because they may be contaminated. According to the FSIS.USDA.gov website, the problem was discovered after FSIS performed routine product testing of finished product containing RTE, or ready-to-eat poultry products, produced by Bruce Pack, and confirmed those products positive for Listeria monocytogenes. Or Listeria. Subsequent FSIS investigation identified Bruce Pack RTE chicken as the source of the Listeria. There have been no confirmed reports of adverse reactions due to consumption yet of these products.
Okay, quick timeout. Nice job, Beth.
Dang, that like, man, you challenged yourself this morning.
I could not have done that. Nicely done. This isn't the first time we've heard about the Listeria outbreak. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the ODC, or CDC, we've had four others within the last year and a half.
That's right. In February of this year, there was one linked to queso fresco and cojita cheese, and there were three outbreaks in 2023. In February, linked to leafy greens. In August, linked to ice cream. And in November, linked to bagged peaches, nectarines, and plums.
You know, it was interesting when I was looking at this. We've been hearing so much more recently about not just Listeria, but other foodborne illnesses. You know, when we were kids, it was always like, you know, it's always the meat. Always be worried about the meat. You know, make sure you cook it. Make sure you do all this stuff. But now, so many fruits and vegetables now are not from, you know, you're using a bad cutting board or something like from like the store, from where they're coming from. It's like, oh my gosh, we have to worry about all this stuff now too.
With more information and better ways of being able to find these things out, it's been great. But it also kind of leads to these situations where we're in.
I can't imagine the ice cream outbreak was in New York. Can you imagine being in New York in the summer?
Oh my gosh. That was terrible.
August. It was warm in August. Well, and not being able, you know, possibly getting sick from having something to cool you down.
When mad cow disease, started to come around and everything, being here in Wisconsin and that being a thing, or hearing about
it made
everybody panicky and stuff.
Right.
I would say one good thing about having as many news resources and outlets that we have nowadays is we're able to, I think, kind of bring down some of the calm with some of these and get the information out there.
Right.
Not every news outlet does that, of course, but we have a lot more ability to be able to do it.
And these were just four. This doesn't include the most recent one we heard about this summer.
That's right. So the most current outbreak, which started in July, has been affecting 19 states. It has hospitalized 59 people and has resulted in 10 deaths so far. It's linked to Boar's Head ready-to-eat liverwurst products, shouldn't be eating liverwurst anyway, and other lunch meats produced from June 11th to July 17th. But I thought Listeria wasn't a serious illness, but it looks like it might be.
It can be serious, depending on who you are. According to the Mayo Clinic, healthy people rarely become ill from Listeria infection. But the disease can be fatal to unborn babies, newborns, and people with weakened immune systems. Prompt antibiotic treatment can help curb the effects of the Listeria infection. And the CDC shares Listeria infection is the third leading cause of death from foodborne illness in the United States. The CDC estimates that each year in the United States, 1,600 people are infected with Listeria and 260 people die from the infection.
Wow. So what exactly is Listeria?
Listeria infection is caused by eating foods contaminated with, I'm going to try this again, Listeria monocytogenes bacteria. Monocytogenes bacteria is one of the many types of bacteria that can make you sick. So MayoClinic.org shares Listeria bacteria can survive refrigeration and even freezing.
Whoa.
So people who are at high risk of serious infections should avoid eating the types of food most likely to contain Listeria bacteria.
So the symptoms of Listeria for pregnant people usually include fever, muscle aches and tiredness. People who are not pregnant usually have fever, muscle aches, and tiredness as well. They may also get a headache, stiff neck, confusion, loss of balance, or seizures. Yikes. Symptoms usually start within 2 weeks after eating food contaminated with Listeria, but may start as early as the same day or as late as 10 weeks later.
Wow.
Wow.
So what are those types of foods that are most likely to contain Listeria bacteria?
Well, again, from the mayoclinic.org, Listeria bacteria can be found in soil, water, and animal feces. People can get infected by eating the following: raw vegetables that have been contaminated from the soil or from contaminated manure used as fertilizer, contaminated meat, unpasteurized milk or foods made with unpasteurized milk, certain processed foods such as soft cheeses, hot dogs, and deli meats that have been contaminated after processing. So there's a lot of foods that you wouldn't think of. You know, we mentioned earlier, we think mostly of the meat, but fruits and vegetables are also a huge area.
So stick to crackers.
That's not on the list. You're right.
Yeah. Carbs are okay, right?
Yeah. But the fact that it can get into the soil.
Yeah.
Of the things that are growing. I mean, that's a wow.
That one caught me.
So
many of the things we've talked about or we've heard about as kids growing up, it seems to be, you know, airborne or something that is it's passed on from animal to animal or something like that.
Right.
That's a whole different ballgame when you're it involves the soil and everything.
Absolutely.
But now that we've talked about this and set this up so well, nicely done, Beth. Now that we know what it is and where it comes from, how can we prevent it?
I'm going to lean on the Mayo Clinic once more. It says to prevent Listeria infection, follow simple food safety guidelines. So keep things clean. Wash your hands thoroughly with warm, soapy water before and after handling or preparing food. After cooking, use hot, soapy water to wash the utensils, cutting boards, that's something that a lot of us don't think to do,
right. And
other food preparation surfaces. You can also scrub raw vegetables. Clean raw vegetables with a scrub brush or vegetable brush under plenty of running water. And cook your food thoroughly. Use a food thermometer to make sure your meat, poultry, and egg dishes are cooked to a safe temperature.
And when it comes to fruits, cleaning them is just as important.
That's right. While vinegar is an option, health.com shares, although vinegar and baking soda are effective methods, cleaning fruit and vegetables under running water is the best approach. Research has shown that brushing and rubbing fresh produce under cold running water is effective as using a vinegar solution to reduce bacteria on fresh produce.
Some other safety tips when it comes to cleaning fruits and veggies, according to health.com, are: choose produce that is not bruised or damaged. Do not wash produce with detergent, commercial produce wash, or soap. Fruits and vegetables can absorb those products, making you sick from the chemicals.
So, very important. Also, keep fruits and vegetables away from raw meat, poultry, and seafood in your grocery cart and refrigerator. We've heard that a lot. Never place salad or fresh produce on an unwashed plate or surface that previously held raw meat, poultry, seafood, or eggs. The washing, the cutting boards, which seems to be like the breeding ground of so much of this stuff. Always important. Keep that cutting board clean.
Store pre-cut and highly perishable fresh fruits and vegetables, berries, melons, lettuce, those sorts of things, in the refrigerator at 40 degrees or lower. And use separate knives and cutting boards for raw produce and raw meat while preparing food.
So some of the ways that we can clean vegetables and fruits, one of the things that I do at home is I bathe them. So I get my sink filled with some water, I add vinegar and some salt, and I let them soak for 10 minutes, which I did a little bit of research is one way to do it, but they really do encourage the running water and scrubbing it, because that also allows that extra getting off the soil that may still remain on the vegetable or fruit.
And it's something you don't really think, at least I shouldn't say people, but me, don't think about. You know, you buy your raw vegetables at the store, and I don't really think about it, about like, oh, yeah, we got to clean this because of stuff like this, because it's not the fruit, it's not the vegetable itself, it's the soil it was in that could be carrying something like this. So you got to make sure everything is ready to go and clean.
It's certainly worth, you know, it's sometimes, well, I don't want to get out a whole other cutting board. I don't want to get a whole other set of knives or anything like that. It can be, it's obviously very worth it. It's important to do for your health, for the health of you and your family. Mm-hmm. But my Nana was really adamant about this stuff. And she had like three or four cutting boards. Mm-hmm. And she loved having, she loved cutting boards and liked having different ones.
Right.
So for her, she was able to use, usually you would only have one cutting board and you only get to use one. But she liked the idea of having multiple ones, not only for a lot of the fish she mm-hmm. made, but for just being able to use more cutting boards and being able to use these things she had.
That's really cool because she was like a collector. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's also a safer way of using it.
Absolutely.
And also, I think a lot of people by now know that wood cutting boards are probably your least ones you don't want to use because of being, again, it soaks in the
it absorbs into the wood.
It absorbs into the wood.
Yep. Yeah.
So using silicon, I think, is probably some of the safest stuff. Or things like that, or plastic or anything like that is usually better.
Well, it's good to find sets. And you can buy cutting boards in sets. In fact, I think we have one at home that has pictures on the different cutting boards
of
what you should use for it.
Oh, that's great.
So one for seafood, one for veggies, one's for meat.
Yep.
Another tip is when you're in the grocery store, we often don't think about the packages that are sealed with the meat in it, they might still leak. Mm-hmm. And so if you look up above where you buy your meat, there's often one of those rolls of plastic bags. Rebag it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just open it up a little bit to get your scan when you check out. But that offers you another level to make sure that it doesn't leak onto the other foods that you have.
Right.
Good stuff.
Very
good
cool. Stuff. Yeah.
So it's and again, you know, we think about Listeria or getting sick right away. I've had something bad, so I'm going to have food poisoning. It's going to be 10 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. Which makes it even harder to determine what it is that has made you sick.
Right. And Listeria acts not like other food-borne illnesses, where in a lot of it's, it's like gastrointestinal issues and that sort of thing. This is more, feels like it's like a flu or like a respiratory thing or like mono or something. The symptoms are a little different. So
it may
be hard to diagnose it because it may be covering like something else. It's like you're feeling bad, but it's something else that might be causing it.
I'd like to thank you, Beth, for the great work on this one, especially a subject we don't get to talk about very much. And I would like to apologize to you all in the audience. I thought we were doing Def Leppard's Hysteria. I completely misunderstood the assignment. I apologize.
That would have been an odd...
I didn't know where she was going with that.
Yeah.
I was
very confusing.
Look, it's best segment.
I am creative. You never can tell, right?
We're going to follow your lead. I'm just
thank you for sticking with me. And thank you all for joining us today for The Kitchen's Open. If you'd like to become a sponsor for this segment, contact Pam at our front desk.
We would love to feature your business during this segment. Just call 715-424-1300.
That number is 424-1300. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out the specifics.
And with that, we'll close The Kitchen.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important, and most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
some group of kids from Stevens Point were using racial slurs against black and mixed race players on the Eau Claire North team. Let's go to Joe. What's he?
One of the things that makes this state great is the legacy of Vince Lombardi. He tells his players, you are all equal on my team. Vince Lombardi would never have tolerated that sort of behavior, and he's one of our heroes.
Joe, as you always do, you nailed it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.